Welcome to Cub Chat Live. This is a weekly show for Cub Scout families, new Cub Scout leaders, and anyone looking to make the youth serving programs in the Boy Scouts of America, awesome. If you're listening to the audio version of today's show, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. If you're watching live with us today, please comment along in the live chat and be sure to check out our audio version of the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Yes, we're a podcast too. Check it out. Okay, here we go.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. It is time for Cub Chat Live. I'm Aaron, but more importantly, my guest, Tamara, what is on your head?
Happy Arbor Day. Happy belated Earth Day. And Champions for Nature. Doesn't this say Champions for Nature without having a cape or something?
It absolutely. It's like your crown. Like you're a champion of nature. And that's exactly, by an amazing coincidence, Tamara, that's what we're here to talk about. So for those of you who don't know Tamara, she is a longtime Cub Scout volunteer. She's a member of the National Cub Scouting Committee. And she's here to talk to us today about a very exciting new part. Tamara, is it accurate to say this is a part of the Cub Scout program update that is rolling out here in just a few months now, right?
Yes, it's very exciting.
So conservation has always been an important part of what the BSA has done, literally from the very beginning. Arbor Day, Earth Day are right around this time of the year. So Tamara thought this would be a good idea to talk about a new initiative called Champions of Nature. Maybe to start us off, Tamara, Champions of Nature, what is that?
Oh, Champions for Nature. It just, like, you totally get it. It's all about being conservation-minded. And what better organization than ours to champion that? It teaches sustainable habits and responsible consumption, Aaron. And we're just so excited about Champions for Nature. Very exciting.
So longtime Cub Scout volunteers and parents might be familiar with something called the World Conservation Award. How does that fit in, or what's happening with it, Tamara?
So everyone knows that as the cute panda patch, right?
Yes, right.
It's so cute, right?
It's very cute, it is, yes. Maybe the cutest patch we have, right?
Yes, it really is a cute patch. So you've probably heard, if you've talked to Anthony and you've listened to Audrey and Lisa and the other people talk about the new program updates, we looked at the awards, and the awards, it was so strange to find this out. They only had a 1-3% attachment rate. And so you might be thinking, oh, is that good, Tamara? Well, when you think about our elective adventures, they have about a 15% attachment rate. So we looked at them, and the content in the awards, the World Conservation Award is a great award. It has a lot of great material in there, but how could we get that to more people? And so we reimagined the awards into elective adventures. And so Champions for Nature is that. And the next part of this is that we are all part of the World Organization of the Scouting Movement, and that's a worldwide initiative with 174 members, and they are no longer offering the World Conservation. So they've partnered with Earth Tribe, and so what we did was we're like, well, we got to do these into adventures. Let's partner with them. Let's work with them to create curriculum, and I'm proud to tell you that we are the first organization worldwide that has curriculum for this age group, this under 11 age group. So isn't that perfect? Of course, we should be champions in this area and leaders in this area. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, and worth a reminder that as with all of the decisions that you guys have made with the Cub Scout program updates, it's not just one person opinion who's throwing this out there. I want to do this, so we're going to do this. It's based on tons and tons of research and data and feedback that we got from Cub Scout leaders, parents. Decisions that were made after much deliberation and analyzation and things like that. So, by the way, I think I keep on calling it Champions of Nature. It's Champions for Nature, right, Tamara? I want to make sure I'm saying right. Champions for Nature. I want to give a quick shout out to the folks watching. What's up, Rusty from New Philadelphia, Ohio. Steve is watching from Edmonds, Washington. Justin from the Prairie Lands Council in Champaign, Illinois. Dorothy says, I love the title Champions of Nature. Dorothy, that's my fault. It's Champions for Nature. I think if you like Champions of Nature, you're going to like Champions for Nature even better. Doyle is coming in from the Middle Tennessee Council. Thank you all guys for tuning in. We appreciate that. Okay, Champions for Nature, Tamara.
Yes.
When does that become available then?
So it becomes available June 1st. Okay. And then if you want to see early, which I did, So we've been working on these a while, all the books. So I went in and bought like all the books, like an entire set in my council store this weekend. So you can take a look at all of the adventures, the required adventures, the elective adventures for every level. In your current Scout Shop now, they came available on April 15th. So very exciting week.
One of the most common questions we've gotten for the last several months, Tamara, whenever we talk about Cub Scout program updates, when are the books available? Tamara's got some. You bought those at your local Scout Shop, you said, right?
I did.
She doesn't have some sort of, I mean, she does have exclusive, but those books in particular, she just got herself from the local Scout Shop. You guys can do that too. Francie says, I'm thrilled about this adventure. Very, very cool. Quick shout out to Brian from Villa Park, Illinois. Wendy from Elgin, Illinois. Thank you guys for watching. Appreciate that very much. All right. So let's dive in to Champions for Nature. Tamara, what does this adventure look like? And I think we've got some graphics to show us.
Because yes. I always think that's helpful.
It absolutely is helpful. There you go right there.
So you see all the cool, that's the Earth Tribe, the little like belt loops, the different patches. And you see that the lions and the tigers, and I'm like pointing at the screen as if you can see me doing that. But anyway, you see the lions and tigers, it's four requirements, includes one that's a conservation project. And I bolded this so that you see that across all of the different levels, we have participate in a conservation service project. So we're going to talk a little bit about like how we can incorporate that into maybe your pack plan. Not to give away anything, but I know you guys are planners. I see you on your Facebook group talking about planning. So here we can plan some stuff out today. But you'll see in every of the levels, we're discovering natural resources and man-made items. We're trying to help people understand the differences between those, what's renewable, what's non-renewable. And then as we move towards sort of the older ranks, you're talking about soil, you're talking about gardening, you're talking about making sure that you are reusing materials where you can. So it's really a cool progression, I think, on being conservation minded.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Like all of the Cub Scout program updates, the Champions for Nature adventure. It's an adventure, right? We can call it that.
Yes, it's an elective adventure.
The Champions for Nature elective adventure is tailored specifically for the different age groups, which is great. I think that's another improvement, right? It starts off with very, very simple. Obviously, a lion is not necessarily going to be able to not only do the physical things, but even understand certain things that an Arrow of Light scout could. Is that right, Tamara? Is that accurate to say that?
Absolutely. We partnered with a lot of different education, like universities and colleges around the country, to make sure that the content that we were putting out was age appropriate. Because in some cases, some of our stuff wasn't necessarily as age appropriate as it needed to be. So we're so lucky. I mean, Aaron, I got to tell you, like, shout out to all the leaders and everyone that's on that filled out a survey. I know we sent out so many surveys during this course to try to get the right answers. And every time we would come up with something, we would send it back out and say, what do you think about this? Do you think you could do this in this amount of time? Does this look like it would be engaging, highly engaging for your youth? And you gave us all that information back. So when you go to the shop, anyone who filled out a survey, I think you should take a picture with the books because you were part of this. You should feel part of our team too. And thank you so much for your help. And I'm sure the surveys will not end. We will continue to ask you for your feedback so we can continue to get better and better.
Yeah, we've invited folks to participate in surveys and provide feedbacks almost as long as we've been doing Cub Chat Live. And apparently some of you listened, which is great. We appreciate that so much. And don't worry, we're not going to stop asking that. Just because the program updates are here and the new handbooks are here doesn't mean we're going to stop asking for your feedback. That will continue hopefully forever, long after Tamara and I are old and, you know, Pat, not even using the, not even volunteering in Cub Scouts anymore.
Wait, that's not going to happen, Eric.
When is that going to happen? Exactly. Tamara, one thing I noticed from looking at that very nice, by the way, congratulations, what a nice little presentation you prepared for us. Appreciate that. There was this conservation service project listed across every single level. What are the kind of things that Cub Scout leaders need to keep in mind as they start preparing to do those projects, because they can start doing that pretty soon here?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. So first of all, in the top, in June 1st, there's like a QR code. So I'm going to point this out. So in the book, this is tricky. Okay, QR code's there, right? When you click that QR code on June 1st and they become active, you're going to see in the service projects, you'll have three different service project ideas. Does it mean that you have to do those service project ideas? No, absolutely not. A lot of our leaders are so experienced and you guys are so creative. You'll have your own ideas about what service projects would work best with your den or your pack and go with that. That's totally fine. But our activities are going to have a safety blurb. So first thing you want to do is make sure that you understand the safety requirements. We never want to have someone injured. I know you don't either. So make sure you take a look at the safety requirements. The next thing I would do is there's a supplies list. It's like a detailed supplies list. It says for every Cub Scout have one shovel or whatever. Every two Cub Scouts can share a shovel or whatever the project would entail. Make sure you look at the supply list so that you're well prepared. If you're doing the service project for someone else on someone else's land, obviously you're going to want to get permission for that. And then I think one of the things I learned from doing service projects, council-wide service projects, make sure whatever you're doing is age appropriate. So I'll give you my Tamara story of how I didn't do a good job with this. I partnered with a park ranger and he had a project and he was supposed to tell me the ages that the project would be appropriate for. So he said kindergarten through fifth grade. So I was like, okay,
perfect.
I'm going with it. You're the expert, not me. So he had this group of kids, a really large group of kids, like 100 kids trying to pull up garlic mustard. So you might think, wow, that sounds, your kindergartners must be like, really, really like high end for being able to identify garlic mustard, because I know adults that can't.
I wouldn't be able to.
Right. So that was not as successful. So just make sure whatever your project is, that it's age appropriate. So
the great thing about having Tamara on, guys, is she has been there. As have I, Tamara, as a former Cub Master, we've all been there. And that's a great tip, especially when partnering with outside organizations, right? We very much encourage folks to partner with their local parks department, state parks, national park, whoever it is, your local city services, right? Just make sure they understand the age group and make sure you get a good description of what they're going to be asking you to do. I think it's probably good advice, right, Tamara?
It is really good advice, because this poor gentleman, I don't know that he may have had children in the past, but it had been a while.
It had been a moment since he had
5-year-olds. He just had forgotten perhaps what a 5-year-old might be capable or a 6-year-old might be capable of doing.
Yes. Yeah. These are the kind of things we learn from experience, Tamara. I want to give a quick shout out to Donna, who's watching from Felton, Delaware. John is watching from New Berlin, Illinois. A pretty interesting comment from Doyle, who says they did a wood badge ticket that walks a leader through conservation projects. Doyle says he's going to send that to me. Please do, Doyle. I definitely love to take a look at that. That's very, very cool. Yes,
yay. Definitely.
Send that to us for sure. Christina from Mission, Texas, Patricia from the Longhorn Council Assistant Commissioner. Thank you all guys for watching. Appreciate that very, very much. Just to quick recap, everybody who's joined us maybe a few minutes late, we're talking about the Champions for Nature. It's an elective adventure that's going to be part of the updated Cub Scout program that you guys can all start doing on June 1st. I mean, I can't believe it's almost here. We've been talking about this for months and months, and now it's basically here. It'll be here in just a few more weeks. The handbooks are on the shelves of Scout Shops right now. You can also order them online at scoutshop.org. As a reminder to everybody, if you are joining late, you can always go back and watch this video from the beginning when we're done. It's also a podcast now, so you can download it through your favorite podcast app and listen to it in your car, when you're walking the dog, whatever you want to do there. And I want to make sure I understand right, again, Tamara, the overall concept. There was a scout program, let me call it up to make sure I get it right. There was a program, there was a World Conservation Award, was what it was called, in the current program. But it's not a required adventure. It's not even an elective adventure. It's just sort of an award that you can earn, you know, outside the basic program. It's part of the Cub Scout program, obviously, but outside of the basic program. People love it. We all love it. fact of the matter is, not that many folks were doing it. So the hope is with the Champions for Nature, not of nature, as I keep saying, Champions for Nature, it is an elective adventure. It is tailored for each rank. And I think the idea is by making an elective adventure, more folks are going to be able to do it. Tamara, correct me if I'm wrong. What did I get wrong there?
Aaron, you are on top of it, my friend. You are all over it. It's exactly right. You know, it's so funny that you mentioned this, the data stuff and how data-driven our team is. If you had asked me, Aaron, how many people were earning the World Conservation Award based on my pack and my experience, I've been like, well, everyone's earning it. And so it was really surprising to get the data that only said 1-3% were earning the awards. So the 15% attachment rate for elective adventures, of course, we want everyone to have the opportunity and be encouraged to do this. And if making it, reimagining these into these elective adventures is going to help us get this material out to more scouts.
Yes, I think that's really the bottom line. The goal is to get more Cub Scouts involved in conservation projects. And this is a way to do that. Everybody, shout out to Tamara's hat, by the way. Maybe my favorite guest on the show today is Tamara's hat.
I don't even have to name the hat. I don't know. Maybe that's a thing we can do.
You know what? We'll take suggestions. And speaking of suggestions from the audience, we would love to hear what kind of conservation projects you guys have done in the past.
Yes.
There is a chance that, you know, the conservation projects that you're already doing might work for the Champions for Nature elective. Is that right, Tamara?
Absolutely. And so I was thinking, like, Aaron, we could talk about how you might incorporate this adventure into your plan. So I know these are the people on your show are go-getters, man. I tune in, try to tune in every week. I am so impressed by the audience of your show. They always have the best ideas. They're always super engaged. If I could work with all of them, I would. Like, they are the best of the best. So yeah, I want to hear their ideas because they probably got some amazing stuff. And if you think about it, you know, April 22nd next year is going to come around, Earth Day. You know, Arbor Day is going to be close around that. What would you guys do if you were doing a pack-wide service project? Because that's a little harder, right, than just your den, because you have to think about that age appropriateness across all the levels. What would our audience do? I'd love to hear.
Yes, we'd love to hear conservation project ideas from you guys who are watching. Maybe Tamara, tell us about some of the experience you've had with conservation projects. We've talked about the one that the kindergartners might have struggled with a little bit, but give me some examples.
The other one, I'll tell some funny ones, and then I'll tell you some of the ones that are in the activities and the den meeting resources that we have. So one of the ones in Pennsylvania, so I was originally from Illinois, so shout out to Three Fires. I saw a lot of people from there. We were in Northeast Illinois Council. When I came here, one of the service projects that they had was removing invasive crawfish. I'm like, dude, because I lived in Texas. So we know all about how amazing crawfish can be. But let me assure you, Aaron, the crawfish in Pennsylvania, they're not those crawfish. So it was disappointing because I was thinking, oh, we could take them, you know, and then they'd be good eating or something. I don't know. It'd be fun. But it wasn't. They're like little, that crawfish removal experience is also not for every den level, because it takes a lot to be able to get into the water and take these things and remove them. So anyway, that's another one that doesn't always work. It ends up being really fun. People get really wet and they splash each other a lot, but probably the crawfish go to the, they scatter when they hear all that noise. But some of the things that are in the activities, so that you'll be able to pull up the QR code and go and see, we have supply lists and everything. So adding native plants to maybe your chartered organization partner or to the school that you're at, planting a tree, yay for Arbor Day. Some of the reduce, reuse, and recycle projects include maybe making fire starters after leftover egg cartons and things like that, leftover candles, recycling Roundup, maybe do a whole thing for your pack for that. You can create terrariums using something that you might have just thrown away, but you can re-envision that into something that's exciting for your young people to see plants grow. Bat houses, Anthony calls that the two trips to Home Depot project. We have like an Airbnb And some of these ideas, you may be thinking, wait, that's my idea. It might be your idea, because we took a lot of great ideas off of things that you guys have posted into some of the Facebook groups that you posted online. And y'all are so creative. We were so grateful for all the great ideas that you had. An endangered species project. There might be an endangered species in your area, and there might be ways to partner with local organizations that do projects to help support the endangered species. What are they coming up with, Aaron? What are our friends
We've got quite a few folks contributing some really good ideas in the comments. I do want to, before we get to those though, the graphic that you put up, maybe behind the scenes, Brian can throw that up one more time. Is this available for folks to view or download or see themselves, Tamara?
This is fresh off the presses, Aaron. Okay. This is just something I created for this, the purpose of this.
But this information will be in the...
They're in the books, right?
Okay, yes. So this information will be in the books for, by the way, you can look behind the scenes, Brian, put it up nice and big. You can feel free to screenshot it right now. Absolutely. But this information, although it might not look as pretty as what Tamara made up, this information will be is in the handbooks.
Yep.
And will also be in the DEN leader guides, which will be, I think, online, right? Right, Tamara?
They'll be in the DEN meeting resources.
DEN meeting resources, which will be at on the official Cub Scouts website.
Yes.
So for those of you who are asking
about the QR codes that are in the front. Yes.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. So there's QR codes in the handbooks you can scan. For those of you asking where to get this information, that's where it will be. You can go track that down. Okay. So we've got quite a few folks.
I can hardly wait. This is going to be the best part of the whole show is hearing other people's ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve says they've done an invasive plant removal at local parks. Very, very cool. I'm going to try to scroll through these on my phone here as best as I can, guys. My apologies. By the way, Emily says crawfish hunting was fun. Tamara, she says she liked it.
Oh, no, crawfish hunting was super fun. The kids loved it. Little kids sometimes are, you know, it's not maybe for the whole pack, but yeah.
Yes, right. Rusty says, I'll go back one more. Darla says, if you go camping at a scout camp, check there to see if there's a conservation project you can do. That's a great idea.
Yes,
many of your local scout camps might have needs. As an example, Rusty, which we showed you just a second, they cleaned out leaves from rain culverts along service roads at a local camp. We actually did a story about this a few years ago, Tamara, in I think it was on Scout Life website, about the importance of doing things like that, cleaning up leaves that are blocking drains and things like that. That's a significant service project. It's not just about litter. It's about protecting the water and things like that. There's a lot of interesting benefits to having clean drains, right? Which is very interesting.
Rusty, way to go. That's an awesome
project. Exactly. Francie says they've reached out to some local organizations asking for help with doing a conservation project at day camp for this coming summer. Very, very cool. Christopher says their pack replants the pollinator garden at another scout camp.
That's awesome.
That's very, very cool. Yeah, I'd love Christopher to love know you guys plant seeds. I would love to know more about that. Or maybe
tell us more, Christopher.
Maybe you plant little smaller plants. That's very, very cool. Let me scroll through here. Marianne says Cub Scouts picked up trash around a senior living facility and planted plants for Earth Day. That's very, very, very cool. Fun. Also, yes. Steve, who's watching us on YouTube, says their pack, is installing mason bee houses at the local salmon fish hut tomorrow. He's doing it tomorrow.
Oh, Steve. That's awesome. Hey, Steve, take some pictures of that. We'd love to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would love to. I'm not smart. What is a mason bee house? I'm assuming it's a house for bees, but I don't know what that means exactly.
It sounds high-end. It's like condo. It would be higher end.
Exactly. These are like luxury bee
it's
houses.
It's like a luxury bee house.
Yes. And why the salmon fish hatchery? I'm just curious. Maybe that's the property where they need that done. That's very, very cool. Very interesting. Let's see. And a lot of other cool ideas. I'm just going to scroll through here more to make sure I didn't miss anything. Brian is asking about the specific requirements. Brian, we're not going to go through each requirement one by one right now, but as a reminder, you can go scan the QR code that's in the handbook to get that. It will also be available on the official Cub Scout website. And again, take a screenshot right here.
Take a screenshot.
While you can. Exactly. Yes, exactly. This has been great. Very, very cool, Tamara. Again, as we stated before, conservation, a part of the BSA programs, literally from the beginning. And I feel like it's worthwhile to remind folks that, you know, that's something that's never going to change. By the way, we're getting some updates. Steve says he's going to send us some photos. Thank you, Steve.
Yay.
Appreciate that very much. Christopher says for the annuals, they buy seedlings fresh from a prairie garden shop in early to mid-April and plant them.
So cool.
You guys,
that's
our
so
audience
cool.
is full of superstars. I'll tell you what.
Yeah. I tell you, every week, I'm always impressed by the people who are watching.
Absolutely. And let me, another good comment from Steve on YouTube. They wear, as they do cleanups in their neighborhood, they wear the uniforms. So in a way, they're advertising Cub Scouts by doing their service project. We could probably do a whole show on that, right? The benefit of wearing like a Cub Scout, even if it's just a t-shirt, right? While you're doing these projects in front of your community, that is awesome. Yeah, we got a lot of folks sharing more good ideas in the comments. We appreciate that very much. Tamara, before we let you go, what other thoughts do we have on Champions for Nature before we say goodbye for the day?
I'm just very excited about this. It's exciting to be, first of all, it's exciting that it's getting ready to roll out on June 1st and go live. I'm excited to hear what you guys think about the projects that are listed. When you finally can get a chance to look at the Den Meeting resources, we, I know, are going to work on like your ideas that you've shared and trying to incorporate that and to continue. That's one of the beauties of having all of this stuff on the web is that we can add to it. We can add your great ideas in there. You know, it's going to be wonderful. Champions for Nature, it's exciting. I hope everyone is planning to do this next Earth Day. And when we come next year, I want to see all the awesome that has happened. Right? It's going to be exciting.
Absolutely. And so as a reminder, everybody, the new handbooks are out right now. And in those handbooks, there are QR codes that you can scan as a DIN leader to go online to get more information, including details on, the requirements by age group. Right, Tamara?
Not available till June 1st.
Okay. Not.
I know people get sad and a face, no pun intended, when they can't get to the DIN meeting resources.
Thank you
but
for that important clarification available on June 1st. Appreciate that very, very much. Guys, this has been a great show. And interesting, but yeah, so Christopher, yeah, a lot of folks in the comments. Steven says, Mason bees are solitary bees that are fantastic pollinators. They don't form hives or colonies. So providing bee houses where they can lay eggs is important to establishing them in a new environment.
See, they are a high-end bee. They're
I
not
had
building
no
their
idea.
Own house. They're like, build it for me.
Right. I had no idea, Steve. That's amazing.
That's
yes.
so awesome.
And by the way, I think an interesting comment from Christopher, also watching on YouTube, the service project that they're doing, they didn't start it, but they've just been maintaining it. So they picked up a project that maybe was started years earlier. That's a great thing there. You know, there's a really good chance that your local, you know, your local city, your local parks, they have projects ongoing that they need somebody to help out with. So they may already have something planned that you don't have to come up with an original idea right then and there. As Tamara said, be sure you check and make sure it's age appropriate and all that good stuff like that.
Aaron, it seems like this could be a blog post for somebody.
I think you might be right. I wonder if only we knew a blogger. before we let you guys go real quick, Brian, behind the scenes, Brian, I'm going to put you on the spot. Throw up that diagram, that chart one more time as we say goodbye to everybody so people can have their, yeah, there you go, Brian. This will stay up here for, Brian, maybe leave this up for another minute or so, let folks take some screenshots. In the meantime, Tamara and I are going to say goodbye. Tamara, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And thank you, Brian, behind the scenes, Brian, you're a rock star always.
He really, really came through today, big time. Mostly though, thanks to your hat for joining us, Tamara. We appreciate that very much. Happy Friday, everybody. Enjoy your weekend.
Happy Arbor Day.
Yeah, happy Arbor Day. Brian's going to leave this graphic up for just a few more minutes. We will see all of you next week. Bye, everybody. See you, Tamara.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to catch next week's episode. Same time, same place. And let us know how we're doing at go.scoutingmagazine.org/ratecubchat. We love feedback and ideas for new episodes. And you can visit blog.scoutingmagazine.org/CubChatLive for all our past video episodes. You can see us live, except it's recorded, but it was live. Okay, see you next week.